I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get the hurt. Let's get the pain out of the way early.
Why'd you do that?
Because I had turned my mic on already, and instead of turning it off to tap the windsock onto the mic, I decided to do it real gently. Let's get the pain out of the way.
Okay. I was going to say, I'll leave now then.
No, not that pain. That's the good kind of pain. Hurts so good. Come on, Lonzo. Make it hurt so good.
I definitely want to leave now.
I'm following training camp around the National Football League, as I have to assume we all are. I'm following training camp around the National Football League, and I like to, I just like to check in. A lot of camps are putting up propaganda, extravaganza videos right now to show you just how super duper awesome your team's going to be this year. It's the perfect football time of year because everybody's undefeated. There are 32 teams in the league that have a shot at the Super Bowl right now. It's exciting. We're gassed up. Preseason starts tomorrow. In 24 hours, we will have 14 hours left to go. I had to do the math in my head. Adding 12 to 2 is tough to do.
It is 6 a.m.
Is 6 a.m.
Not everyone can add this early.
I can add later, but it was real tough right now. In 24 hours, we will have 14 hours until toe meets leather and the preseason is underway. We're all sorts of excited. Why wouldn't you be? Your team's undefeated for half of the league. You're like 4 weeks away from your team not being undefeated anymore. That's where it's great. It's fun. Awesome. Let's go. So this is a fun time of year, and I really do spend a few minutes most nights taking a spin around training camps. And I kind of, I focus in on Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa, the NFC South. I check in on Zoe's chefs. I check in on all these on all the teams that I think are going to be relevant to this show. The teams we cover geographically and the teams that I think will be in the chase in some way, shape, or form. And so yesterday evening, I was spinning around training camp coverage from throughout the day. And I came across a clip from Tampa Bay practice. And it kind of hurt both my feelings and my hips and lower back a little bit. Jenna Lane is a reporter for ESPN locally covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And she did an interview with Tampa Bay star wide receiver Mike Evans. And she was, training camp is for a lot of us, it is about football. I'm breaking down Hunter Renfro film like it's the Zapruder films, right? Like I love this time of year because I think there's a lot you can learn about what players and teams have gotten better at, gotten worse at, taken a step forward, taken a step backwards. I am fascinated with what's happening with the Chicago Bears right now. I'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But it is also for not diehard football fans, right? For the casuals. And again, casuals is fine. We love casuals. There's room for casuals in this show too. For casuals, training camp is getting to know you, getting to know all about you season. Like you're getting to know the guys on your team. Whether they're the new guys or maybe you're learning some new stuff about old guys, whatever. So Jenna Lane did an interview with Mike Evans, and it was kind of a getting to know you fluff piece, right? which is fine. There's room for that in coverage too. We love sports, but we like to connect with the athletes. It is no secret in the industry that I am in. It is no secret that human interest stories matter. And even when I'm talking X's and O's and formations and audibles and motion and tactics and all the big time stuff, I also usually try to tie it into the human interest element somehow, because we love some drama. And in order to have some drama, you got to know the guy you're talking about to make you care. If he's just a faceless dude with a helmet on, you're not as connected as if you, it turns out, have the same band as your favorite band, or you like the same food, or you got the same, you know, bedtime or morning routine or whatever connects you with these guys. So I'm flipping around last night. I'm like, let me check in on Tampa Bay. You know, I try to stay really connected with the NFC South squads. So I'm like, let me check in on the Bucks, and I come across this very short clip from Jenna Lane. And she's basically asking Mike Evans, who has been with the Buccaneers for a very long time now. He got brought into the Bucs organization in 2014. Like, he's been there a while. So she's talking to him about his, like, camp routine and his pregame routine and how he makes sure that he's working through camp with the same intensity that he's going to attack the season. Cool, all well and good. And she's like, so, like, what kind of stuff do you use to make sure you're in the mood for the footballing? And Mike Evans is kind of giving through his routine. And one of the things he says is, and I'm getting really big into, like, old music, man. Like, I'm starting to find some vibes in old music. Mike Evans is 31. That's about the time that I kind of circled around. There's this theory in music that you discover new music up until you get to a certain age. And then when you get to a certain age, you stop going out of your way to discover new music. And you kind of circle back around to the beginning of your musical taste, and you kind of go through that journey again. I believe that theory.
Yeah, so do I. Thank you, Spotify, because, I mean, I just, as soon as I just went back and downloaded all my favorite old stuff.
Yeah.
And I get a new thing every once in a while, but I only have so much room, I think.
This theory 100% holds water for me, because I used to, and I'm not saying I don't try to find new music now, but I don't do it like I used to. I used to go to record shops and have full conversations with people I don't know to find stuff that they like. Now, that's not to say that I don't find new music. I do. I found Monday an all female surf punk rock band called The Beaches, which I find is a hilarious name for an all-female rock band.
It's a good name.
It's a great name for an all-female rock band.
Do they have attitudes?
Or oh, yeah.
Just, okay.
Yeah. All right. It's all right. Like the bassist is this chick who comes out on stage, and I don't know a ton about him. I just found him Monday. But the bassist comes out, and she wears, like, JNCOs in a sports bra, and she's just a badass, dude. The lead singer, like, she sings, but she performs on stage. Like, she has a presence. I just found him on Monday. I added him on Spotify. I'm obsessed. I'll find new music. But I used to go out of my way to do it. I don't really do it anymore.
I don't know, man. They're from Toronto.
Hey, man. A Canadian all-female rock and roll band.
What kind of beaches do they have in Toronto?
For the record, I think that the pun on the beaches is that you replace the E and the A with an I and you say it with a Canadian accent?
Nuh-uh.
There it is.
Nuh-uh.
All right? I'm all in on the beaches. They are some bad beaches, and I love them. All right? So I'll find some new music, but I don't go out of my way to find new music like I used to. I used to go to record stores and have full conversations with anybody in that store. Hey, what are you listening to? What are you into right now? Who's somebody I've never heard of? And I would pick up albums. And now it's like, I use DJ X, like the little AI DJ on Spotify, which, by the way, if you haven't used it, It's phenomenal. And I use that. And DJ X kind of, it'll do like 4, 5, 6 songs that are in your library or that are adjacent to your library. And then every now and then he'll do like a 4 or 5 song set where he's like, you've never heard of this band, you've never played them before, but they're very similar to this artist that you love, so give this new artist a try. And it's dropped some stuff on me that I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. I'll check
so
that out.
So you trust Music AI?
100%.
Okay.
DJ X has been phenomenal. After the show, I'll pop my DJ X on Spotify and let you like check out. It's really good. So Mike Evans is doing this thing with Jenna Lane, and she's like, give me the routine, and he goes through, and he's like, I've kind of started, because he's 31 years of age, he's kind of at that age where that theory kicks in. You kind of stop finding new stuff, because music changes, and at some point, it changes so far that you become the old curmudgeon. You're like, oh, these kids don't know music anymore, right? And you circle back around, and Mike Evans has hit, it sounds like, his circle back around point. So he said, I've been really getting into old music, like old head music. And calling music old head music is saying it's old, right? So Jenna Lane this morning pops up a tweet. I just saw it on SportsCenter. And I was like, ugh. Jenna Lane said after that interview where Mike Evans said part of his routine, part of his vibe is to go find and get into and give vibes from old hat music. She said, what is old hat music to you? And he said, oh, you know, stuff from the early 2000s, like old stuff. Y'all, I want to fight an NFL wide receiver right now. I want to fight an NFL player today, right now, this second.
Bad move.
I'm ready to fight, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm ready to fight right now.
He's in better shape than you, and he's a lot better.
I'll get my ass whipped. But I think I can get one shot in. He's a wide receiver. He's a big dude. I'm not landing a shot. But I think if it was like me, him square off in the parking lot, him all 6'5", 231 of absolute NFL jacked, and me back down, by the way, to 207 after 2 days on the road at Media Days. Thank you very much. Me at a lean, mean fight machine weight of 6'3", 207, with not an ounce of muscle fiber in my body. I think if we had, like, if it was time to square off, all I need to do is just say that in my head over and over. What's old hat music, Mike? You know, early 2000s? I think I'm landing a shot or two. I think I'm getting one or two, just out of, like incredible Hulk rage.
Okay, that was 25 years ago, so that would be old hat music.
I'm not saying I'm wrong. Like, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying don't say it out loud. You know? It's like that Big Lebowski quote that I now immediately have to move back to my soundboard. You're not wrong. You're just a bleephole for saying it. We all know. You don't have to point it out to me. I am fully aware. I get it. There was another dude this weekend that did something similar. Oh, it wasn't this weekend. It was last week at SEC Media Days. I had another Lulu Kesson moment. By the way, I think she rejoins us next week. I think Lulu Kesson's back next week as our regular Thursday guest to talk Gamecock football. So we were at, I think it was SEC Media Days, and I told the story already about I went into the lunchroom and I sat down at the table because I had a little break. There was like an hour between, usually there were about 30 minutes. There was an hour between events. And so I'm like, yeah, they're serving us lunch. Pretty good. It was, I think it was blackened swordfish that day. Like, I'm in. And so.
Wait. It was blackened swordfish?
Oh, yeah.
And you were complaining about the food?
No, I was not complaining.
You were saying that SEC was, no, the ACC
was better.
You did.
I wasn't saying it was bad. I'm just saying it was, ACC's food was better this year.
That's not a normal dish. I'm just saying it's not something that I've had swordfish before, but it's not a normal dish.
No, it's not. But at the end of the day, like,
kind of a fancy dish.
You're cooking fish. I mean, even the fanciest of fish, you still cook like fish.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right.
So.
And you blacken anything, it's going to taste blackened.
Dude, I will blacken any fish. Blacken fish is the way. Blacken redfish, one of the best foods on planet Earth. All right. So blacken swordfish, I'm like, you know what? Good meal. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to take a break here for a minute. Got a little while. I got out ahead of my editing that day. had my video posted, whatever. I'm like, let me sit down. Let me enjoy a little bit of lunch. And so I'm sitting at the table, and one of the guys that we had the pleasure of meeting from 107.5 The Game over in Columbia, he came and sat down. And then one of his interns, who was a young lady like fresh out of J school, she sat down. And basically, I ended up sitting at this table, feeling good about my life at the time, by the way. I'm now sitting at this table with like a dude who's maybe in his 30s, two girls in that are like clearly, they're like 22, just graduated college, and then a couple of other youngsters. I end up being the old hat at the table. And I don't remember how the conversation came up, but we got to talking about music. We got to talking about music, and we ended up talking about artists that we liked, and I think it really was just us trying to find like some crossover, right? Like what do you listen to that also I listen to? What's new that maybe I can say, oh yeah, that's like this band. We were talking about music. A lot of people in this industry really like music because this is it's a creative space. Like it is. We're all sports based. We all like to pretend we're big jocks. But this is a creative space, and music matters a lot. So we got to talking about music, and I asked at one point, and I don't remember how we got here, but I asked them about, I want to say, the Foo Fighters, because obviously, the Foo Fighters are one of my favorite bands of all time, like a wildly influential band in my life. And I think I asked about the Foo Fighters, and one of the two girls was like, no, I've never listened to them, but I've heard of them. They were a little bit before my time. That's my dad's favorite band. And then I had the realization that if I would have had a kid at 18 years of age, at 18, if I'd have had a kid out of high school, as a lot of you listening did. That was kind of a thing. Like, that was kind of the time you started settling down and having some cheering. If I'd have had a kid at 18 years of age, my kid would have been sitting at that table with that girl the same age as her. Y'all, when I tell you my left knee started hurting all of a sudden, like I think that might have been the day that I gained the superpower of being able to tell you, it's going to rain soon. Like, I think that might have been it. I don't know. So thanks, Mike Evans, for ruining my morning. Before it even started. It's not ruined. I don't care. It's a joke. Haha, funny. We're talking sports. We got a lot we got to get into today.
Right. It's kind of a joke.
It's kind of a joke. It's not a joke. It's all factual and true. It didn't ruin my morning. I don't love it, is what it comes down to. It didn't ruin my day, but it didn't help it. You know what I'm saying?
Once you get to 45, it'll settle in. And that stuff won't bother you anymore.
I feel like it's kind of already started to, like, I can feel myself growing less angry about it on the daily. I find myself growing less angry about it. Not angry, but just less. I'm kind of getting to the point. But I also know that this comes with, it comes with the territory of, I am starting to hit my, I'm just going to say what I want to say to whoever I want to say it to, period. We pulled up to a red light the other day. I was driving with the wife, and there was a dude, and he was, like, swerving in and out, in and out, in and out. So we pulled up to a red light next to the guy, and the guy's, like, clearly not just on his phone, but he's, like, he's holding it at eye level while he's driving. And so when I pulled up to him, I did the universal put your phone down sign. You know, you hold out the thumb and the pinky, and you turn it upside down, and I did that. And he rolls his window down. And Courtney's like, do not roll your window down. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to roll my window down. So I rolled the window down, and he's like, you got a problem? And I'm like, yeah, you're driving like an a-hole. You're all over the road, bud. You swerved in my lane like three times. And he's like, I didn't leave my lane. Sir, with all due respect, I was watching and you were not. And then it escalated into him dropping an F-bomb on me. And I'm like, look, have a nice day. But I've just hit the point where like, yeah, I'll roll down my window and tell you you're driving like an a-hole if you're driving like an a-hole. So I think that there's a ratio there of like, I'm growing less angry about the constant stream of reminders that I'm now in my 40s, but I'm also accepting it in the, yeah, I'm just, most people aren't going to do anything. Just tell them they're being a jerk, and maybe you're the one that's going to wake them up and save them from being a butthole all the time. All right, we do have a lot of sports we got to get to today. I promise you. We're going to get back to the NFL. We talked a lot of Carolina Panther offense yesterday. Let's talk some defense today. I went yesterday down the contending for the college football playoffs, college football teams, and I picked the biggest, scariest non-rivalry game on their schedule. I'm going to give you those for some of the top 25 teams I think are in the mix. We got that coming up for you later on in the show. And I'm going to ask you a question we are going to take throughout the day. If you can steal one element, not like their whole game, but one element from the game of one pro athlete, and you can have it for one day, what one element of one pro's game are you stealing from one day, and what are you doing with that? I'll tell you what I mean. Lonzo and I give some answers. It's going to be a rip-roaring good time. That's that senior citizen brain kicking in. I'm Rob Brown. He's the great one, Lonzo. You're you, and we're glad you are. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to talk a lot of actual sports over the course of the show today. I'm also rebuilding my soundboard. Hey, Mike Evans. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to click it a second time, but it stands. All right, it stands. All right, I'm in a group text with a bunch of the fraternity brothers from back in my college days. Shout out, brethren of Tau Kappa Epsilon. The Teeks, a.k.a. the Geeks, Lambda Iota chapter. So.
Wait, your nickname was the Geeks?
No, our nickname were the Teeks, but people like me were in the fraternity, so the real, like the cool fraternities called us the Geeks. And we were good with it. Like, we were good with it. We weren't your standard polo popping, so, jungle juice drinking frat boys.
So you were basically in Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
So, yes.
Okay.
Yes, to all some right. degree, 100%. We were the nerd frat. Let's put it this way. We never got paired up with Delta Gamma during formal season, okay. If you catch my drift.
Okay, I was not in the nerd frat. I was in Zeta Phi, which were the rats, which were all where all the football players were.
Yeah, we were not.
Yeah.
We were not. I mean, so, I'm in a group text.
Used to make
text.
Fun of, you know.
Me, 100% yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah. You absolute jerk.
Although, the nerd, this last thing to say, the nerd fraternity on our campus had a stand-up cabinet of Joust. I don't know if you've ever seen Joust, the video game.
I knew what you were talking about. I don't know that I've seen that
game. You're
on
the back of ostriches and you're jousting. It's a cool video game.
That's a throwback reference from the great one. I was in the nerd fraternity. But I will also say that the good news is it worked out because I have got genuinely like some sincere lifelong friends from my time as a geek. So we have a group text, me and the boys, in a fraternity I haven't been an active member in 17 years, 18 years, whatever it is. And the other day.
You could hear like the abacus.
Yeah,
it's your bricks, like, move yeah, this hurt. One over and do this.
It hurt a lot. We have this group text, and the text is, it's just bros in the chat, right? It's evaluation of Sydney Sweeney. It's a lot of football, baseball, basketball, soccer talk. It's a lot of sports. It's just boys being boys. It is the text that if I die and you find me, I need you to grab my phone and delete that text before anybody else finds it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not because of me, but because of my friends. It's that chat. I think all the boys have that chat. So, we regularly have these random conversations, and I don't know where this one came from, but one of my fellas down in VFLA popped a question in the chat that we discussed and debated for hours. And the question that he popped into the chat was, if you could steal one element of one pro athlete's game for one day, what are you stealing and what are you doing with it? Now, not play basketball like Steph Curry. It's like shoot a three like Steph. You don't get to have his dribbling. You don't have to have his you don't get to have his passing. You don't get to, all you can do is shoot a three like Steph. You can have Barry Bonds' ability to hit a dinger. You don't get all the rest of it. You don't get to be a great fielder. You don't get to be any of these other things. You just get to you can power mash like Barry Bonds. You can have Michael Phelps swimming, but you only get one race. Like you can be a distance guy or a short. You can't have the whole thing. You can either swim a 1,000 meter like Mike Phelps or a 251 across. What one element of what one game for just one day are you taking, and what are you doing with it? The boys were at this conversation for hours, coming up with different one athlete who we'd take one aspect of their game. And we all kind of landed on the same spot, that there's a lot of these that would be very cool. It would be very cool to be able to mash dingers like Barry Bonds. It would be awesome to be able to hit a baseball like Barry Bonds, to send baseballs into another plane of dimension. That'd be awesome. It would be very cool to have the ability to dunk a basketball like Tracy McGrady or Vince Carter. That'd be awesome. But the one that we ultimately, via a long discussion, all agreed on was that the correct answer is the ability to drive the golf ball with the distance and accuracy of Tiger Woods in his prime. Because as cool as it would be to hit a baseball like Barry Bonds, if you woke up tomorrow and you knew you had the ability to mash that baseball, what can you really do with it, right? Let me call a buddy, meet me down at the local ballpark. I want you to throw me BP until your arm falls off, and I just want to hit as many mashers as I can. But, like, what are you doing with that? If you had the ability to run, this was one that got brought up early. What if you could run like Usain Bolt in his prime, right? You could run the 1,000 meters like Usain Bolt in his prime. That would be dope. But what are you doing with that? Are you gonna run up and down your street a bunch? You're gonna go run up and down the side of the interstate to race again? Like, what are you gonna do with that? It'd be very cool to experience what it is like to be the fastest man on planet Earth, but like, what are you doing with it?
All right, I got one. I would like to have early on Kyrie Irving's ball handling skills.
That's a good one.
And just go down to my old neighborhood back in Ohio, go out to the ball court and just exhibit that. Just go out there and wow and amaze everybody. Never take a shot and then leave.
That's one I would land on. That's one I very heavily considered is give me Allen Iverson's handles. Give me AI's ability with the basketball. Give me his handles. Not even his passing. Just give me his, but you get one element. Give me his handles. Give me AI's grip. Because with that, you better believe I'm going down to the local Y, or I'm calling up one of the local high school basketball coaches. I'll be like, yo, I need to get in your gym. And I need you to call every hooper you know, because I'm about to put on a clinic. And then when that one day is over and I'm done, I'm never picking up a basketball again. I'm leaving a legend out there, right? Like, that's a really good one. But I landed on Tiger's drive and distance. Now, a texter just texted the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663. And said, I don't even need Tiger's driver. Give me the iron play. And I want you to know, Texter, I considered that too. I'm like, hey, you know, maybe I take Tiger's clutch putting, right? Maybe I take the iron play. Nobody was better from a mid-distance than Eldrick. Maybe I take that. But here's why I settled on the driver. Because half of my drives end up in the bull crap anyway. So, like, half my seconds aren't on the fairway, which means I got a day that I got the iron work of Tiger Woods, and half the golf balls I hit are not using that, right? I'd be better served to say, give me Tiger's recovery. Give me Tiger's recovery out of the rough, out of the woods, out of the sticks, out of the dirt. I'll use that more, right? I would love to have the iron play, but here's why I got to go driver. Because at least the driver gives me a shot. If I go 15 out of 15 fairways in regulation, I at least got a shot that of those 15 fairways in regulation, I at least got a shot that like six or seven of those with my irons, I'm getting them on the dancing floor. I'm getting them on the green. I'm putting them close enough that I've given myself a chance, right? And on top of that, if you take Tiger's length off the tee, remember, there was an entire era of golf where they were having to redo long-established golf courses to make them longer. Because it was not uncommon for Tiger Woods to drive the green on par fours. Constant, like a lot. So they had to, you'll remember it was part of the Tiger Woods video game, they had to Tiger-proof the golf course. They had to add dozens of yards of length so that at least his second shot was more often than not coming with a pitching wedge or a nine iron or a sand wedge from up close, right? If I had Tiger's drive in his prime, I'm going down to Pebble Creek. I'm going over to Fox Run. Like, I'm going to a local course. Those aren't Tiger-proofed. Those are local course length. If I had Tiger's driving ability, I'm on in one in like the majority of the par four holes in this market. If I had Tiger's drive for a day, I'm playing five rounds of golf in a day. I'm playing my five favorite courses. I'm playing all of them. I'm hitting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm speed running through all of them. That's the play for me. Lonzo's is great. Early Kyrie's handles, taking it down to the local court and showing up the Utes. I think that's a great one too. All right, I'm going to leave that question on the table throughout the course of the day. If you could steal one element of one pro athlete's game for one day, what athlete are you stealing from and what one element of their game are you stealing? We're going to talk more about this. I'll get your answers. We'll take them off the air and on it. Text them to 844-326-3663. Join our live stream by heading on over to The Fan Upstate on Facebook, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or The Fan Upstate on Twitter. You can also check out The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Would love to have you join the live stream. We do have our live chat up and running. We'll respond to that in the breaks. We'll take those comments onto the air and more. I am Rob Brown. He is the great Milonzo, and this is The Rob Brown Show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Fan Upstate.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would like to congratulate me, and I would like to congratulate all of you, because you may or may not have noticed, it may or may not have registered to you. I have not talked about the Atlanta Braves in a week. I have actively avoided the Atlanta Braves. We have been back from the All-Star break for over a week now. I haven't mentioned them at all. They were on a five-game losing streak. They got a win two nights ago in game number one against the Royals. They went out last night. They lost 9-6. I can't really complain about it. They had 14 hits in that game, and the recently acquired Eric Fetty got the start. He is 3-11 on the season. This is why I said the minute that trade went through, that's the Braves washing their hands of the season. Now, if that truly was the Braves washing their hands of the season, which I think it was, you do not go get a 3-10 pitcher from a team that is hanging out in the middle bottom of their division. You do not add that guy to your roster unless you are, and for the record, The Braves are totally out of starting pitchers. The only guy from opening day that is still available, well, there are now two, Strider and Elder, but the only guy on the opening day starting rotation that has not missed time on the DL is Bryce Elder. So if you went down and got the Cardinals, who are just a game over 500, you went and got Eric Fetty, that's a punt. We're done. We're out. Unless you think that Atlanta, at 45-61 now, 16 games back in the division, and now congrats, Bravos, just a game and a half up on the Nationals. Unless you think that they're like, well, let's wait all to, you know, all our pitchers get healthy. But they didn't, because they sent Grant Holmes to the 60-day DL. They're shutting him down probably for the year. And it may end up being that he needs Tommy John or some kind of elbow surgery and rehab, which, fine. Like, at this point, set everybody down, like everybody. Welp, as much as I have just kind of accepted that this baseball team is bad this year, the season is over. I accepted we weren't going to the playoffs 6 weeks ago. I tried to talk you all into joining me. Some of you have remained hilariously, foolishly optimistic about the chances. Oh, when Strider gets back, when Ronnie gets back, when this guy gets back, when we do that, we're back in it, Rob. No, you're not. You stink. All right? Now you're going out and you're sending cash to St. Louis. I assume something between like $7 and $12 to St. Louis to pick up the worst pitcher on their rotation. Cool. All right. I'm good with the punt. But then, if I'm good with the punt, and I am, I now have a big-time problem. Because last night, Ronald Acuna Jr., who I am getting to the point of believing, we just have to accept he's fragile. We just have to accept that Ronnie is not a tough dude. And I don't say that in the tough way, like challenging his manhood or challenging. He's fragile. He's one of those guys. There are just those guys who are fragile. And Ronnie's one of those guys. But if you've got a guy who is a top 10, 7, 5, 3 player in all of Major League Baseball, if you got a guy who is definitely a top 10 player in all of the major leagues, maybe a top 5 player, maybe a top 3 player, depending on who you ask, and you are in a season where you are not going to the playoffs, you're cooked, you're punting, it's done, it's over, you got Eric Fetty, it's done. If that guy comes to you at any point, you know, the guy who missed most of last and the first half of the first half of this season because he was rehabbing an ACL tear from last year. If that guy comes to you on a Monday after a game and he says to you, who I have just promoted to general manager or coach or whatever title you want with the Bravos, if your franchise guy in a year where you are a long way off the pace says, hey, coach, hey, GM, hey, whatever. My hammy and my leg and my Achilles, they're a little tight after the game. I got some discomfort in the leg, in the Achilles and up through the hammy. I got some discomfort. I got some tightness. If you're the manager of a team that is bad, 45-61, what's that make the Braves? 16 games below 500? If you are a team that is a game and a half up on the Nats, and the franchise comes to you and says, coach, I played on Monday, I want to play as much as I can, but I got some discomfort in the Achilles and in the hamstring. Oh, by the way, of the same leg that I just had ACL surgery on and rehabbed and just came back from. If that guy comes to you and says, there's discomfort in the leg, coach, but, you know, I missed a lot of the early season and I just want to play. What do you do in that spot? What do you do? You say, Ronnie, I understand. And I appreciate that you want to play. I appreciate that you are a competitor. I appreciate that you're a dude who wants to go be a dog and wants to gut it out and wants to play even if this team is straight up booty cheeks. I get it. My man, you're sitting down tomorrow. Wins and losses do not matter anymore. Results don't matter anymore. We are now at a point that we've got a few different objectives. Number one, we're going to fill up the rotation with a bunch of junk pitchers nobody else wants and let them chew up innings and blow their arms so we don't have to waste our young guys and have a bunch of Gwinnett stripers come up here and get smoked around by major leaguers and lose their confidence. Objective number two is we need to take care of you, Matty Olson, Austin Riley, whoever I believe the core of next year's team, which will not be managed by Brian Snicker, the core of next year's team we need to take care of, and that's you, buddy. You are the franchise. You are the cornerstone. You are the guy. You are the dog. So we gotta take care of you. So if you are having discomfort in the Achilles, discomfort in the hammy of the leg that you just came off of ACL surgery and rehab from, I appreciate that you want to play, and I want you to play. I really do. But not tonight. I need you to sit. I need you to sit. I need you to hop on a PJ back to the ATL. I need you to go get some imaging done. I need you to go talk to the doc. I need you to walk through everything that we can walk through to make sure that this isn't a bigger deal than it looks like it is. That's what I need. I need you to make sure you're a buck. When you are 100%, when the med staff says you're 100%, you're going back out there. What did the Braves do? Because there are now reports that after the game against the Royals on Monday, Ronald Acuna Jr. went to the team and said, I got discomfort in the leg. I got discomfort in the hammy and the Achilles. It's a little tight. But then he said to the team, but I want to play. I missed a bunch of time because of the ACL and the rehab. I'm a competitor. I want to be out there. I want to play. Sit his ass down. Sit him down. Because every time that this guy gets injured moving forward, and again, respectfully, because I love him, Ronnie's injury prone. We know that. There's been a bunch of them. And every time that he gets injured, it elevates the chance that he's going to get injured again. And if you end up running this dude into the ground in a season that is going to go down as arguably the most disappointing baseball season of my life as a Braves fan, if you run him into the ground and you pop another ACL, blow a hammy, break a leg, whatever, and he ends up being unavailable for next year when you have a new manager, when you have a new core, when I assume Anthopoulos is going to finally start bringing up some of those young pitchers he's been drafting over the past couple of years and put them in the rotation and maybe you find your way in. If this dude says, I'm hurt, but I want to play, you're a manager, manage. Buddy, I want you out there too. It's better for my team because nothing else is worth watching but you. But no, because I cannot risk your future as the cornerstone of this franchise as long as you were locked in to have you go out there and pop an ACL running down fly balls in right field in games that are irrelevant. Take it to the bench. We're going to do the test. If you are 100%, you'll play tomorrow. I got you, but not tonight. Manage. Sit him down because do you know what happened last night? Ronnie was in right field. Ronnie ran down a fly ball that ultimately in the game did not matter. In a game that did not matter, and do you know what happened? Ronnie came up limp and got pulled out of the game with an Achilles injury. We do not know how severe he is getting evaluated today, but if it turns out that he blew an Achilles, guess what? You don't have him to sell tickets the rest of this year, and you're probably not going to have him for a chunk of next year. Great job, everybody.
I don't understand. So baseball is different. They don't have trainers. They don't have doctors. Because in football, if someone is injured, they have to be cleared by the doctors before they go back out on the field. Does baseball not do that?
No, you do. And there was.
So why are you not blaming them? Why
I'm
are you blaming
the whole damn organization?
Because okay, that seems like if he let him go out, it's probably because he was cleared. And if he was cleared, that's on the doctors.
Everybody in that organization, from the staff,
you wouldn't play hurt.
I'm not saying it's up to me.
Okay, but as the athlete, you wouldn't play hurt.
If I'm Ronald Acuna Jr., coming off a blown ACL, my second, by the way, Coming off the surgery and the long rehab of a blown ACL that caused me to miss a third of the first half of the season, and I go out there, and that same leg starts to act up on me? Yeah. We're 45 and 61. Maybe a different story, great one, if we're 61 and 45. Maybe a different story if you're at the top of the NL East, not the bottom. Maybe a different story if you're a World Series competitor. But as a team that's 45 and 61, especially, because I know it's easy to say, well, I'm a competitor. It's really easy to say that when you don't have 7 years and $185 million attached to your decision and ability to stay healthy. Yeah, for that much money, I'll sit my ass on the pine and feel better later.
If the trainers cleared him and it was his decision, it's his decision.
No, it's not. It is the manager's decision. Stop. We got to stop with that. No, you know I'm so as player empowerment say, as
you
anybody.
You should say, hey, the doctors said you could play, but I don't trust the doctors.
Yes.
And so you got to sit down.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
That's a good way to
that's
get
exactly
fired
what I'm saying.
As a
why
manager.
Would you? If. Okay, then let me say this.
By the way, I understand your side of it, but there's also the business side, and the business side of the manager going, okay, this all-star player got cleared by the doctors. At least we assume he got cleared by the doctors. He wants to play. If I sit him down, he gets disgruntled. He goes to management. Then I lose my job.
He can't do anything. He's locked in for years. Like years. You sit the kid down, and you go, look, Ben, I promise you, we got your best interest at heart here because your best interests are our best interest. You being out there is the only reason anybody has to watch the Atlanta Braves right now. It's the only reason we have to watch the Atlanta Braves is you. You are our future. We have locked up this franchise around you for a decade. You're the guy. And what I can't have is you going out there and blowing it out for no reason. In a year, we're 16 games off the pace, 16 below 500. We are 16 games behind in the division. This is not it. We want you out there. I promise you. But see, now what happened? The Braves and the Reds are playing this Saturday in Bristol at the racetrack. It's their big, MLB's big, like, crown jewel special thing. We used to have the Field of Dreams. Now they're playing at the Super Speedway in Bristol, whatever. And that was this huge deal. Now the Braves are going to that game. 80,000 people plus expected to show up at this event. And guess who's not going to be there? Ronald Acuna Jr. Because he popped something. I hope it's not a pop. He strained, pulled, whatever. He left the game early, limping off the field. After we saw him limping off of a home run or a plate crossing on Monday, limped off the field last night, 10-day DL. He's now not available.
Well, apparently, the Braves just lost a bunch of stuff. You can't trust those doctors because they allowed him to get on the field
sure,
in the first place.
Sure, let's say you're right. You know who else I don't trust? Brian Snicker and Alex Anthopoulos for watching this man on Monday limp off the field and then tell you, my leg's messed up, but I want to play, and then just saying, yeah, you know what, go ahead and play again on Tuesday in a game that doesn't matter. And guess what? What if Ronnie popped his Achilles last night?
I'm not a baseball guy, so I don't know this for sure. I didn't know that managers actually were also doctors. I didn't know that.
You are hinging on the wrong thing. You're hinging on the wrong
thing. I'm not.
Who cares? Lonzo, if I see a guy limping, I know he's hurt. I don't need to go to medical school to see that a dude going, probably ain't my best baseball player. How far did my chair roll away? I have to go get it. Sports flash.
It went way back there. Because I like to twist the knife, the Atlanta Braves dropped game two of their series with the Royals 9-6. The recently acquired Eric Fitty, whatever, took the loss. Gilway giving up 4 earned runs on 5 hits. The Braves offense had 14 hits, including multi base hits from Jurickson Profar, Ozzie Albies, Drake Baldwin, and Michael Harris second, and homers from Marcell Ozuna and Austin Riley. Bengals edge rusher Trey Hendrickson is expected to end his holdout and report to the team today, according to reports. While the team has not announced an extension yet, it's believed his arrival is a good faith gesture to spark negotiations. And one of the biggest names in international soccer is headed to MLS as the Vancouver Whitecaps have reached an agreement in principle with German Thomas Müller, which Rob had to make sure they signed that out. I mean, but he put Mueller. Good for him. Yeah.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.